Hello, and welcome to this weekend message from New Vision, Church of the Nazarene in Raymore, Missouri. Please stay tuned at the end of the message for a special invitation for our podcast listeners.
I think I've shared a couple of times already with you that this last NFL season was an especially exciting one and enjoyable one for me. No, I'm not a Chiefs fan, so it was possible for it to be a good season. And there's really no reason to watch the Chiefs. And so I had the privilege of being able to watch several nationally televised games of my old hometown team, the Minnesota Vikings. How much fun it was to watch Adrian Peterson run and dodge tackles that should have taken him down, to watch the legendary Iron Man Brett Favre throw amazing passes. It was fun. It was wonderful. It was fun watching them get all the way, make it into the playoffs and play most of the time so well, but the one game especially that I remember, and I remember a couple of the plays in the game, was the NFC Championship game. They were playing in New Orleans. Everybody thought that New Orleans Saints just could not be beat at home, and because the Vikings had lost a couple of easy games they should have won, they didn't have the privilege of home field advantage. And so they're in New Orleans playing the New Orleans Saints, racking up hundreds of offensive yards. In many ways, it was a fun game to watch. But I remember a couple of plays in particular. One of them, the Vikings were down in the red zone, handed the ball off to Adrian Peterson. He broke through the line, and just after he broke through the line, he dropped the ball. Which by that point was no real surprise, but still unfortunate. He dropped the ball. New Orleans Saints picked it up, ran it back. Can't remember if they actually scored a touchdown or not, but that was, in that game, that was the game changer. They were doing really well, mostly had a chance. That was the game changer. Now they came back and got really close and probably could have won it in overtime, but that was the game changer. That one fumble down near the end zone that should have been a touchdown, it was the game changer. Today's Pentecost. As we're going to talk about today, for Christians, the day of Pentecost was and can still be a game changer. The day when things significantly changed. 2,000 years ago, on the day of Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples while he was with them that after his death and resurrection, he would go back up into heaven. And Christy read the scripture a little bit ago where he said, "Now when I'm gone, I'm not going to just leave you as orphans. I'll come back to get you. And in the meantime, I'll ask the Father and he will send another comforter to be with you, the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit will be his replacement. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is God, just like Jesus is God. Jesus' job was to come, be the Savior for our sins, to die on a cross for us. In the same way that when Jesus walked on this earth and he preached and as he taught, he was teaching the words of God and he was God on earth teaching us. In the same way, the Holy Spirit, when he speaks, is speaking the words of God to us. So when Jesus left, God sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, what is the day of Pentecost all about? Why does it have the funny name? Day of Pentecost, or Pentecost, was one of the main Jewish seasons and festivals of celebration. You may have heard of some of the Jewish celebrations. Passover is the most popular one. And the tradition was, as God had given them, that 50 days after they celebrated the Passover, then they would celebrate Pentecost. And so it just so happens that as thousands of Jewish people from around the world are gathered in the city of Jerusalem for the Jewish festival of Pentecost, God says, "Today's the day," and he sends his Holy Spirit. And it was a game changer. It changed things. Just like Jesus changed things when he was born here on earth and totally changed the game. Just like Jesus changed things and his death and resurrection were a game changer. When the Holy Spirit showed up in God's power on Pentecost, it was a game changer. Here's what I want us to do. I don't want us to just look at a nice little story that happened 2,000 years ago that drastically changed things. This is something that could happen to you. Let me say it a different way. This is something that can happen in you. And it all has to do with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk quite a bit today about the Holy Spirit. Here's the summary of what we read a little bit ago. Jesus told his followers about the Holy Spirit. He said, when I send the Holy Spirit, he will do five things. Here they are, just real quick. First of all, the Holy Spirit will remind them of what Jesus taught. So they wouldn't have to try to remember everything that Jesus said. He said, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what I told you. The Holy Spirit will convict them of sin. And so when you're in a place doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, and you feel that little prick of guilt, that's not just your conscience, which is something that is the Holy Spirit of God putting his finger in your heart saying, you know this is wrong. You know this dishonors God. He is convicting you of guilt. Holy Spirit will guide them into truth. The Holy Spirit will tell them what is to come. And the Holy Spirit will tell them what he hears from God. And so as Peter, John, Matthew, the other followers of Jesus were later to write down the stories of Jesus and of what he told them and what he taught them, we trust that these are not just human stories that totally depend on their memories, but that these are the stories that the Holy Spirit reminded them and inspired them to speak. That the Holy Spirit of God was moving in them, telling them the truth that the Holy Spirit had received from God the Father, God the Son, and they wrote it down. The Holy Spirit. Whenever you've been at church, maybe, and you have this moment of insight, this new spiritual truth that finally lands that aha moment, that's not just the amazing mind that God gave you, that is the Holy Spirit of God giving you insight and illuminating your mind. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Acts chapter 1. Take your Bibles. I want us all, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Acts chapter 1. We are going to spend quite a bit of time in Acts looking at a few of the verses. If you don't have your Bible, grab one that's located on the end of the aisle where you're sitting. Turn to Acts chapter 1. You can just leave it open because we're going to stay here the entire time today. And we're going to do something a little different today. I'll explain that in a minute. Acts chapter 1. Let me read to you a little bit when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4, Jesus says, it tells us, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with his disciples, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What's he saying? He's saying there's more to come. He says, I'm going to go away, but before you go out and go about your business and doing all the things you think I want you to do, I want you to wait. Jesus' followers have watched him die on the cross. They are now hanging out with him a little while whenever he decides to show up for about 5 or 6 weeks or so after he is raised from the dead. And he's hanging out with them. They're talking with him, and he says, wait, because there's more to come. There's a gift for you. A lot of us don't know that, don't realize that same thing is true for us, that there is more. That God has more for us. The most basic elements of following Jesus, well, first of all, it's the cross, which is at the center of all things. And a lot of us, we know the truth. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and when Jesus cried, he took my sins and he took my punishment. He died for me. Jesus died on the cross and he was raised again, and that takes care of forgiveness for the sins that I've committed. I believe that he did that. I've trusted in him. I've prayed the little prayer, dear God, I'm sorry for my sins. I acknowledge my sins. Please forgive me. I trust that when you died on the cross, you died for me. Jesus, please forgive my sins. I've got it. Check it off the list. I've done it. I believe it. I'm there. Jesus on the cross. We're good to go. And now, because of his death on the cross, he has provided for me hope in heaven. So that at the end of my life, whenever that may be, whenever God says time's up, then I get to go to heaven. And the reason I get to go to heaven is because of what Jesus did on the cross. So Jesus' work on the cross for me, it took care of my past, and it happened in the past and took care of the sins. Jesus' work on the cross for me provides the future in heaven that I have. And this, go to the next slide real quick, is where most of us live. Right here. Check that off the list, I believe. Check that off the list, I'm waiting for it. What about now? Could God possibly have something for me right now? Could there be more than just forgiveness for the past and hope for the future? Could there be something right now? And that's what Jesus says. Don't go anywhere. Wait for the gift. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the right now factor. If you have yet to receive and acknowledge the Holy Spirit working in your life, maybe that's why you struggle. Here's what I want us to think about this morning. There's more. God has more for you than just forgiveness from your past and hope for your future. Here's the bad news, though. It's not taught, it's caught. In other words, I can give you all the information, but that's not going to do it because that's not what it's all about. The Holy Spirit is not a it. The Holy Spirit is a He, which means He is a person with a mind, emotion, will, and persons are related to in a kind of a relationship. And relationships take time and nurture and energy and attention. And so it's not something you can just say at a one time, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Oh, good, I got the Holy Spirit. Check it off the list. We're good to go. Because it's a relationship, and relationships that are not nurtured tend to fade and die. How do you get Him? You seek Him. You seek Him. You seek Him. You seek Him. You pray. You ask. And you seek. Some of you are bored Christians. We just need to be honest today. Some of you are bored Christians. You've asked for forgiveness, took care of that. Sometimes you think about the hope that God has for you in heaven. Other than that, you don't really think about God too much. And you're bored Christians. Because the right now factor, you don't have the Holy Spirit, just to be honest with you. Some of you have become distracted from the things of God. Desire for more money, a better living situation has distracted you from giving attention to God. Whatever it may be has distracted you. Some of you have just, quite honestly, allowed sin to creep into your life. And because of your blatant disobedience and some things you know are just not right, you have cut yourself off from God. Some of you are a little bitter. You prayed and prayed and prayed and cannot understand why God did the thing He did or allowed the thing that He allowed to happen. You're a little bit bitter with Him. Oh, maybe you wouldn't admit it, but maybe today's the day to admit that. And because of your bitterness, you have just kind of shut God out a little bit, and there's no place for the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Francis Chan is a pastor in California. Maybe some of you have read his book. Be careful if you read this. It'll slap you in the face. But it's true and it's good. Francis is an amazing communicator. He can draw a crowd and people will listen to him. He's a great preacher and he has a great church. But I recently read an interview when he said he realized one day that his own teenage daughter wasn't in love with Jesus. And he said the thing that really hit him was that he had no power to change that. Here he was. I mean, he's one of the most effective pastors. Ask most pastors in the United States. They'll say, oh yeah, Francis Chan, I've heard of him. That guy's good. I wish I could preach as well as him. And he realized that he had no power or ability to get his own daughter to fall in love with Jesus. He says she didn't have the Holy Spirit. And he agonized over it, and he cried over it, and he prayed regularly, night after night. Lord, I pray for my daughter, because Lord, I can't do anything about it. You've got to get a hold of her. God, you've got to move in her life. Lord, my daughter. And he said, after weeks and months of agonizing and praying and pleading and crying, his daughter came to him one night and said, Dad, you were right. You're right, Dad. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I didn't really care. But God's worked in my life. He's done something amazing. God, Dad, it's for real. I'm changed. And in the moment, he believed her, but he and his wife agreed that They wanted to see the fruit of that change. And he said over the last 18 months, he says, I can look at my daughter's life and I can recognize and realize she's a new person. God has indeed made her into a new creature. She is showing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and he praises God for it. But God did it. He didn't. And he can do the same for you if you'll seek him. So today we're going to seek God, the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray a lot. We're going to sing some. We're going to read some scripture of what happened on the day of Pentecost. But most of all, I want us to seek God, the Holy Spirit. See, God operates in his own time when he knows we're ready, on his own timetable. From the stories of everyone I've read and talked to, it happens when we seek him, and it begins when we seek him. So let me ask you today, can we take some time in the next 25 or so minutes to really seek God, each and every one of us? In your bulletins, there's a blank sheet. Looks a little bit like this. Dear God. Some of us find that it helps us to pray or get started to pray when we take a pen and just start writing a letter to God. You know, that's one of the ways to pray, right? Because prayer is just communicating with God. There's lots of ways to communicate. Maybe today you'll just start things by writing a little note to God. Dear God, I'm a bored Christian. I'm a distracted Christian. I've got some sin in my life. I'm a bitter Christian. God, I want to seek you and seek your Spirit. I want us to pray a lot. There are lots of different ways and positions and postures for prayer. And so maybe you just want to sit where you are at your seat and pray. Maybe you want to turn around, kneel down at the floor and pray. That's all right, because really this time is for you to be with God. I'm going to say a few things. We'll sing a little bit of songs. But you just, however God's leading you, you do that, okay? Over at the cross, have some just simple couch cushions. And maybe that's the place for you to meet with God. Maybe you just want to sit over there or kneel over there and you just be with God today. In the back and over in the side here, some seats and some places. Maybe you can just kind of get away from the people sitting around you and the noise or distraction. Just kind of get away and find a place to pray. You just meet with God today. That's what I want most of all, is for you, each and every one of us, to meet with God. Because he says that when we seek him, we'll find him. So let's seek God today. Let me introduce Pentecost. Here's how it happened. This was the original Pentecost. This is the story of Scripture and one portrayal of possibly what it looked like. Take a look at this.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together.
Can you imagine that? Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the place where they were sitting. God's moving in kind of scary ways. They saw what seemed to be, and this is the best way they could describe it, what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. What? I mean, along with the sound of the violent wind that is literally shaking the place, what seems to be fire comes in, splits up, and rests on each of them. That's just the description of what was happening in the room, but here's the important part. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit is God, that is telling us they were filled with God. Okay, so now it's time to pray. And let me ask you, when you pray, what do you ask God for? God, bless me. Lord, give me direction so that I can know what to do. Lord, give me success as I go into this endeavor. Lord, give me rest. I'm just so worn out. What do you pray for when you pray? What do you ask for? Do your prayers ever go like this? Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Like you did on the day of Pentecost, Lord, fill me with your presence that is strong and overwhelming and undeniable. What would happen instead of asking for stuff that we think we want, we would ask for God himself to so fill us it'd be beyond imagination. Can we try it? Jen's going to sing, but I don't want you to sing if it's going to distract you from praying. So let's pray. And you just begin to pray as God leads today. This is your time. Meet with God. Let's seek his Spirit today. A couple things as the day goes on here in the day of Pentecost. You say, what's this whole like tongues thing all about? It's kind of weird. You know, that's how it says that God filled them with his Spirit and everybody starts talking. They start talking all these different languages, languages they had never learned. And then they spill out onto the street and they're talking. And there's a bunch of Jewish folks, and they've come literally from everywhere. You know, they've come from thousands of miles around, and they're in Jerusalem. And they're confused too because they look and they're like, no, these people here, we know that they're Galileans. We can hear that accent, but we hear them speaking our own language. Well, here's what Jesus said when he told them it was going to be like on that day. Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses here in the city of Jerusalem, in the region of Judea, the next region of Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And now, within minutes after them being filled with God's Holy Spirit, people from the ends of the earth are already hearing about Jesus. What Jesus said would happen, my name will go out to the ends of the earth. It's already happening, which tells me one thing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not directly for your benefit. This is a God thing. It's for God's glory and for God's honor. One of the things that God wants to do in our lives is to get us thinking a whole lot more about Him and a whole lot less of ourselves. To think about a whole lot more of His glory and His reputation than advancing our glory and comfort and reputation. That's what will happen. So be careful if you pray for the Holy Spirit. God's interested in His reputation and His glory. That's what's going to happen. You'll come later. But if you've ever gotten tired of just living for yourself, being filled with the Holy Spirit will radically change that. Let's continue to pray. And if you want to come up here and pray, if you want to kneel wherever you are, let's continue to pray. So then some people respond. And they look at what's happening, and people speak in all these different languages, people who'd never studied languages, and they look at the disciples and they're like, these people are drunk. That's the only way I can explain what's going on. They're drunk. And guess who speaks up? The guy who always speaks up, Peter. The guy who, when he speaks up, people are like, uh-oh, what is he going to say? Remember Peter? We talked about him a few weeks ago. He's the guy who wore the t-shirt that said, failure. Because he was the one you could always count on to screw up and say the wrong thing at the wrong time. He was the guy who said, Jesus, I'll never betray you. And a few hours later, he's like, I never knew the guy. He said it three times. The failure, Peter. Remember what I said? Pentecost is a game changer. And the game has just changed. And look what it says Peter did. Chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Peter launches into a sermon. And he begins to preach. And he says, this is what the Bible has said. He's talking to Jewish folks. So he uses their scripture, the Old Testament. And he says, look, if you just look all through the words of scripture, it talks about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And now it even talks about in the book of Joel, it says the Holy Spirit will come. That's what has happened today. The Holy Spirit has come. And guess what happens at the end of that? The end of that little sermon, it says the people were cut to the heart and said, what should we do about this? God speaks powerfully through Peter. And in that day, 3,000 5,000 people turn from their sins and say yes to Jesus. Peter goes from coward to preacher. And what happened? The Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit moves on you. And Peter gets some power to serve God. Again, not power for his own life, to make his own life easier and more comfortable. He gets some power to be bold. And I don't know about you, but when I read this, that's where this cuts me to the heart. Because I often don't have very much boldness to be bold for God. Man, I'm like the preacher. I get paid to do it too, you know? I'm supposed to. This is where I go to God and say, God, fill me with your Spirit. God, I need your boldness to boldly proclaim every word of truth that you once said. And so as we pray, I'm kneeling here praying for boldness. Maybe that's your prayer today too. Someone once told me, I don't think I'll forget it, said, the reason I like going to church is because it's a great place to pray. I want to encourage you, don't miss your opportunity this morning to really meet with God just because it's more comfortable to sit in your chair than just to do anything else. Not that you have to get up, go anywhere, do anything specific, but if God's nudging you, enjoy this time with God. Make the most of this time with God. It says in Jeremiah, if you seek me and seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. So make sure that today, during this time, you're seeking him. Maybe you're here today, it's your first or second time. Maybe you just don't know a whole lot about the whole Jesus thing to begin with. And so the Holy Spirit thing is really kind of crazy, because the whole Jesus died on the cross is kind of new to you. What Jesus' death on the cross meant was kind of new to some of those people too. And so Peter, on that day, chapter 2, verse 38, is what he said to them when they said, what should we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 40, with many other words, he warned them. He pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So maybe that's your word from God today. Repent. Repent is a word that just means turn. Turn from where you were going, the way you know is the way of disobedience. Turn and go God's way. And so maybe that's your word today. Repent. Peter keeps on preaching. A few days later, Peter and John are at the temple, continuing to preach. Guess what it says, chapter 4, verse 13. When the religious leaders saw the courage of Peter and John, remember that, courage, boldness? And they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that they had been with Jesus. Some of you think that you're not very useful in God's kingdom because you don't have the education, the training, the whatever. And Peter and John, they didn't have it either. They'd never been to rabbi school to learn the scriptures as well as some others, but they had the Spirit of God and moved powerfully in their lives. Don't let lack of education, lack of experience hold you back and keep you from doing what God's called you to do, because when the Spirit moves in your life, He empowers you to do whatever He has called you to do. So then they're arrested, thrown in jail, spent the night in jail. In the morning they get up, they're released. They go before the Jewish religious leaders and they kind of give them a scolding and a tongue lashing, and they just say, look, hey, we're just wanting to obey God. And it's more important to obey God than you guys, so sorry, but we're just going to keep on doing it. They go back to the place, Peter and John, they've been in prison all night. They go back to the place where all the believers are gathered, and they're there praying. And Peter and John get this, and then they come back and they report back to them. It says they raised their voices together and they prayed. Now a lot of us, we might pray, God, why did you let that happen? God, that wasn't fair. God, I'm going to hire a lawyer to sue them because they broke my civil rights. God, would you heal these wounds on my back, because that was not a comfortable beating I got. A lot of us would just whine. You know what they prayed for? Here it is. Verse 29. Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They asked God for more boldness so that they could keep preaching, keep teaching, and keep telling people. They didn't ask for anything for their own comfort, their own enjoyment, their own blessing. They asked for more boldness. Because when the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of you, you start to forget about yourself and get a whole lot more focused on God, and life gets better. So are you seeking Him? Let's pray again. And then one of the best verses in this story. Chapter 4:31. After they prayed and asked God for more courage, the place where they're meeting was shaken. Ooh, sounds familiar. The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, wait a second, I thought they were already filled on the day of Pentecost. Did it like drain out or something? I don't know how to explain this, but I know that God blessed them again. After a difficult day and prayers for more courage and not more comfort, God blessed them again with a refilling. So maybe you've been following Christ for years. You know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're living in the flow of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Even that moment of being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just a once and for all kind of a thing. It seems like it's something God wants to do on a regular basis. And when did it come? When they sought God and asked for courage for His glory instead of comfort for their own issues. So maybe today you just say, Lord, fill me. Lord, refill me. And remind me of what's really important, Lord. Reorient my eyes to the truth instead of my own concerns. Let's all stand together. I want us to sing that... I want to sing once through that chorus. All of us, let's sing it together as our prayer. Don't just sing it, pray it, sing it. Here we go. Here's the last little part. Right after that, it tells us this, Acts 4:32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of his own possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. This is that ultimate sense of community that we've looked for our entire lives. Sharing our lives, sharing our stuff, just sharing. This is that sense of community. But notice that it was the result of God filling each and every one of them. It only comes as the result of us seeking God. It does not come as a result of us just deciding to share our stuff one day. It comes as a result of us seeking God and of God filling us with Himself, and then we just stop caring about all the junk we have in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we read that and we look at those and we say, yeah, I want that. Yeah, I need some more of that. Yeah, I could use a lot of that. But notice what it says. Those things are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you want to experience the love, joy, peace, patience that come as a result of seeking God and being so filled with this Holy Spirit that that's what He does in your life. And rather than seeking the peace and seeking the patience and asking God for more goodness and kindness and faithfulness, He says, seek the Spirit, and the fruit will be all those things. Seek God and say, Lord, fill me. And as He fills you, fruit grows. I'll sing it again, and then we'll be dismissed. So let's go this week. Let's take this with us and continue to seek, continue to pray, continue to say, God, fill me. Continue to watch for the fruit of that Spirit as the Holy Spirit of God moves in our lives. Today is not just a one-time instance that makes us feel good. It's a moment of seeking God that we carry with us. So have a great week seeking Him, serving Him, living with the fruit that God brings in your lives. Have a great week. You're dismissed.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from New Vision, Church of the Nazarene in Raymore, Missouri. We invite you to listen to more podcasts and learn about what God wants to do in your life by visiting our website at www.new-vision-church.com.